All right, we have reached our final video for skill number one, discerning and developing vision. As we continue with our course, Developing Great Commission Skills, this particular video is going to focus on the skill topic, vision in motion. Now, in thinking about vision, one thing that I would like to explain here is that vision is organic. Vision is organic, meaning that vision lives, it breathes, it develops, it matures, it's fluid, it's flexible enough to make mid-course corrections. We don't want to cast it in stone. We want to give vision the ability to move with the movement of God. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons. First of all, despite our best efforts, by the grace of God, of discerning His vision for us, we are not going to get everything exactly right. And so there might be a need for some things to be adjusted, nuanced, mid-course corrections along the way. Secondly, we're going to encounter things that we did not see coming, things that we didn't know were out there. You know, that could be in the form of maybe a new person or family coming into the church with a certain set of skills or a certain experience that we can now leverage. All manner of things can happen. I mean, let's face it, we can never pin God down 100%. Things are going to unfold that we didn't see coming. I mean, how many of us knew COVID was coming, for example? All right? So we want to realize that vision has got to be organic, flexible. It's got to be able to be adjusted. Now, regardless, a healthy vision needs to have that freedom to not be rigid. One thing that I say all the time is don't fall in love with your methodology. Don't fall in love with your methodology. Methodology is just a tool. And there will come a time when that tool is no longer relevant or there's something better that's out there. One of my little sayings is that today's innovation is tomorrow's rut. So we want to be very, very careful to make sure that we don't paint ourselves in a corner with a very rigid vision. So that brings me to a discussion of two key vision questions. Vision question number one is this: how does God want to express Himself through our church in our community at this time? How does God want to express Himself through our church, our community at this time? Now, there are four elements to this question, and by the way, this question can be framed as a prayer. Father, how do you want to express yourself through our church in our community at this time? What I've done in the past in utilizing a question like this, something similar, is to have all of our key leaders spend some time alone, one-on-one with God, praying this prayer and seeing what God communicates. And then we get together and we compare notes. And we find that very often God is laying the same thought, the same concept, the same idea on multiple people. And so that's how vision starts to bubble up out of a team of people that are seeking God's vision. So this is a prayerful exercise. It's not just a strategic exercise in nuts and bolts. Well, the four elements are this. First of all, it's God's vision that we're seeking, not our own. Again, we're discerning. We're not creating vision. We're discerning vision. So we have to be mindful that we are seeking the mind of God, the heart of God. And so we seek His leading through His Spirit. Secondly, we're talking about our church. We're not looking at what God might be doing with some other church. There's a trend, actually it's been a trend for a long time now. Whenever some church does something particularly noteworthy, next thing you know, books are being written and conferences are being held, and you know, everyone is going to flock like pilgrims to find the new secret. Well, let me give you my take on that. You know, if God is using some other church in some significant way, hallelujah, praise God for it. Benefit of the doubt, that's how God is working through those people, that church, and that community. I can be inspired by that. Maybe I can pick up a few pointers here and there about this or that. But the idea is not to simply mimic what God might be doing somewhere else. God's resources are unlimited. And so we go to Him and say, God, how do you want to work through us, through this particular grouping of individuals that you've put together as a congregation? How do you want to use us in our community? You know, it doesn't really matter what's working somewhere else. What matters is what's going to work right here where we are. We've got to know our mission field, that domestic fit mission field that is our community, that geographic footprint. Who lives there? What makes them tick? What are they after? What are they missing? How can we step into their lives with something meaningful that might engender an ongoing relationship out of which we might have the opportunity to share our faith? So it's God's vision for our church and our community at this time. We have to minister like it's right now. We can't minister like it's some bygone era. I think we've all learned by now that what used to work doesn't necessarily work anymore. Plus, with technology, with various challenges that we've had to face in terms of our culture, in terms of the pandemic, things change at lightning speed. You know, you might, in the old days, you might be able to hang with a particular thing for a couple decades. No longer. The pace of change is so rapid. Now, I'm not talking about changing the gospel or watering down the content of our faith. I'm talking about the methodologies that we use to deliver our faith. These things need to be flexible. So, question number one, God, how do you want to express yourself through our church, our community at this time? We spend time individually pursuing answers to that question. We come together, we pray, we think, we read scripture. And ultimately, we come up with the approach to vision that is going to be our approach. Second key question, what did God mean by that? This is the retrofit. This is why I'm saying keep the tent pegs loose on your vision. Because along the way, you're going to bump into things that you didn't see coming. And you might need to adjust. I'll give you an example. The church that I went to in Phoenix, of 13, was severely declined, in part because the community where the church was located had become almost 100% Hispanic. And the Anglo or Caucasian church that was in there did not make any adjustment, any accommodation to that. So eventually they became more or less irrelevant to the growing community. So to their credit, they realized this and realized that, you know, for a church to thrive at this location, it needs to be a Hispanic church, a church led by a Hispanic pastor and staff, et cetera, et cetera. And so they first rented the building and grounds out to a Hispanic church and ultimately sold the church to that church at very, very, very favorable terms, because they wanted to make sure that, you know, the beachhead that God had established in that community years ago was not lost. Well, that, of course, meant that this church was going to have to find someplace else to be. So, that entailed finding where should we move to. Well, when I entered the scene, I was informed that that decision was going to be more or less up to me, and perhaps with some advice from my wife. I thought that was kind of strange at the time because I didn't know anything about the area, but this group was determined that the incoming pastor, you know, by the grace of God, would seek God's leading and find the right place. And I will have to say that did happen. I don't have time to go into what confirmed all that, but just give me the benefit of the doubt here. We made a move into an area of the city that was a better demographic match for who we were as a small congregation. But, you know, we didn't have a place to meet initially. We went on a waiting list to find a public school that we might be able to use on a Sunday morning. Well, it took 7 months for a school to open. But we finally opened in that new community and began holding services on Sunday at a middle school. One of the unique features of that relationship between us and the school district that we leased from was that the school district would only allow churches 2 years' use of its facilities, and then we would have to be out. So from the day we entered, we knew that we only had 24 months before we'd have to be someplace else. Now, that's not a very long time in the church world, but those were the conditions that we were operating under. And so we almost immediately began thinking about property. We didn't really have much in the way of money. We knew that it would take a movement of God to make it happen. But we were reasoning that God had led us to make these decisions, had led us to this community, so surely He would have a place for us where we could get a piece of property and put a small building up and manage to survive as a church in this community. You know, I think I failed to mention that the skill topic we're talking about with this video is vision in motion. And I think you're kind of getting the feel for that. First of all, it's organic, it moves, it breathes. And now we're talking about the fact that we had to relocate. And sometimes you just have to do things of that sort. Well, as time unfolded with this church, because we had such a proactive commitment to outreach and evangelism, and we created systems to receive newcomers really well into the life of our church, we began to grow. And so I would say somewhere around 15 months or so into that 2 years, we were probably averaging about 75 or so attendance, maybe pushing toward 100. Giving was not over the top, but it was stable, and we were trusting God to lead us. And so we started to think in terms of vision. What do we need in terms of a footprint in the community, a place? If we're going to buy a piece of property, you know, there were no church buildings that we could purchase. This was a fairly new community. There weren't many places for churches to meet. So we knew we were going to have to buy a piece of property and put up a small multi-purpose building. And we didn't have much money to work with. Well, through much prayer and discussion, we decided that we would trust God for roughly 4 acres of land. We thought that that would be ample for what we might need over the years. And, of course, in a place like Phoenix, you have to give up a lot of space for things like water retention on your property. You've got to deal with parking and those kinds of things. So we set our sights on 4 acres. We felt like God was leading us to pursue finding a 4-acre parcel. So we began to search for that parcel, knowing that we didn't have the money, but trusting that by the time we find the parcel, maybe God will have made a way. One of the things we did was we brought an architect into the mix, and we asked him to tell us, what could we do if we had 4 acres of land in this community? What could we do with that land in terms of, say, the size of the building? How much seating could we have? What kind of classrooms could we fit? How many parking spaces would we need? How much acreage would we have to devote to water retention and, you know, connecting with sewer lines and all those kinds of very, very practical nuts and bolts things? And so it was hypothetical, but we just wanted to have sort of a bird's eye view understanding of where this might be going. And so he did just that, and so we took his drawings, and we sort of looked at them as part of the vision. We have a vision of being a church that sits on a 4-acre parcel with this kind of building and so many parking spaces, et cetera, et cetera. So that we folded into our understanding of our vision. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, God dropped 14 acres into our laps. Now, we had to pay for it, but it was offered at well under market value, and our denomination had decided to experiment with what they called unofficially venture loans. We couldn't qualify for the loan that we needed on conventional standards, but they decided that this would be a kind of a venture capital type approach, that a certain percentage of the funding that the denomination had would be dedicated to startup type ventures. And so they approved this loan. Well, we went from 4 acres to 14 in terms of projection. And we wondered, well, what could we do with 14 acres? So we brought the architect back and said, listen, it seems like God's vision for this church includes a future on a 14-acre site. What would that look like? Well, after our architect did his homework, he discovered that only 9.5 acres of that 14 was going to be buildable due to elevation and whatnot. But still, that was more than double what we had projected. So we asked, well, what kind of building could we put on here? How many parking spaces, et cetera, et cetera. And we went through the entire operation once again. What does God mean by this? Answer. God's vision in terms of the size of the operation is much bigger, at least long term, than what we had anticipated. Now, it wasn't that we were numbers hungry. We were just reasoning that, you know, God wouldn't provide a resource that he didn't intend to use. And so we went down that path because we were flexible, because our vision was organic, because it could breathe, it could expand, it could pivot. And ultimately, about two and a half years before I left, we were holding services on that property. One building, multi-purpose, that was indeed used for multiple things 7 days a week. And we allowed the community to use that building for all kinds of things, from homeowners associated meetings to, you know, soccer group meetings to piano recitals. So, flexibility. Question one gets you started. How does God want to express himself through our church and our community at this time? Question two provides the retrofit, the adjustment, the pivot. What did God mean by that? Now, when you pursue a Great Commission vision directed by God through our church and our community at this time, with the flexibility to adjust, great things happen. Lost people in the community are reached. God is glorified. And people grow to maturity in Christ. Now, I want to summarize the six skill topics that we looked at under the skill number one, discerning and developing vision. So, by way of review, let me take us back very, very quickly through the previous skill topics. First of all, we looked at the glory of God. Discerning and developing a godly vision begins with God's ultimate purpose, which is his glory, being glorified. We looked at our seeking God, the fact that God is seeking and searching and saving the lost, growing them into being true worshipers. We looked at the seeking church, the role that we now have as the body of Christ, the people of God, to be part of that mission of seeking and saving the lost. We looked at Great Commission Central, where we realize that the Great Commission includes both vision and strategy. What is our vision? Go and make disciples. How are we going to do that strategically? Well, we're actually going to go. We're going to figure out what that looks like, all to the glory of God. We talked about a reached community, the projection into the future where if we follow God's leading as a Great Commission church, ultimately we are going to reach the community. So our vision is a picture, a snapshot of a preferred future, a projection as to what we could be by the grace of God if we follow his leading. And finally, we just looked at vision in motion with those two key questions. Now, before I wrap this up, I want to say a few words about vision statements. Okay? I'm going to start with a little bit of a disclaimer. You know, what a vision statement is not. Well, a vision statement is not a doctrinal statement or a statement of faith. And a vision statement is not a tagline or a catchphrase or you know, like a radio jingle. Here's why I'm saying that. I'm finding that lots of churches, when they're crafting a vision statement, they'll include doctrinal statements, theological statements in the vision statement. Our vision is to be a church that honors the authority of Scripture. Well, that's not a vision statement. That's a doctrinal statement. Authority of Scripture is a statement of faith. Well, those kinds of statements belong in a doctrinal statement. They belong in a statement of faith. They don't belong in a vision statement. Vision is a picture of a reach community, not a picture of the theology that we support. Also, a vision statement is not something that is just somewhat frivolous. You know, a little 4, 5, 6 word phrase at the bottom of a bulletin. I know that a lot of churches, you know, they're looking for that catchphrase, that clever statement that catches someone's attention. But that's not visionary. That's more like marketing or branding. So what I'd like to do is take a few minutes to explain my approach to vision statements. My approach is this. I have a 3-tiered approach to a vision statement. And the 3 tiers are, first of all, the story, secondly, the synopsis, and finally, the slogan. Now, here's how that works. You begin with the story. Now, the story is a full, multi-page narrative of everything that you're hoping to see, whatever time frame that you're using, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever down the line. Don't go too far out. I would say at most go about 5 or 6 years. Okay, remember I talked about the idea of a snapshot or a video of what's happening in the church, what you are envisioning being the description of this church X years down the line, in terms of the vision itself and in terms of the strategies, the how-tos to get there. Multiple pages, so that if someone were to read that narrative, they would have a great understanding of where this church is headed, perhaps why it's headed that way, and how it's headed that way. Now, once the narrative has been constructed, we then reduce that narrative down to a synopsis of 1 or 2 paragraphs that summarize the full narrative, so that if I were to read that summary, I'd have a sense of, you know, the gist of the story, the highlight reel, so to speak. And then finally, there's the slogan. That is that short, pithy phrase that we might stick at the bottom of a bulletin. Now, how do these work? Well, they work together. When a story is first put together, it's shared with the rank and file of the congregation so that they can now have a sense of the vision and hopefully will grow to support that vision. Then, once the congregation has been exposed to the full narrative, every time they see the synopsis, every time they see the slogan, it opens for them the full narrative. Another use is this. When newcomers come into the church, the first tier that they're going to be seeing is probably tier number 3, the slogan. They're going to see it on a banner, on the wall, on a poster, on a bulletin. They probably won't have a good sense of what it means. But they'll see it. They'll be familiar with it. But if they stay with the church long enough to assimilate into the life of the church and eventually make it to the point that they're attending a newcomer class or a discovery class, inquirer class, and the leadership is now orienting the newcomer to the church, one of the things that you would do is share that full narrative. And that will make that slogan that they've already been exposed to really blossom. And it will help to assimilate them in to the vision of the church, into the culture of the church, because the culture is going to grow out of that vision. So for the person who's already on board, when you first start with this process, they're going to start with story to synopsis to slogan. But the newcomer coming in is going to go slogan to story, and then maybe to synopsis. But the point is, once the old-timers, the insiders, as well as the newcomers are being exposed to the full narrative, then every time they see the synopsis, every time they see the slogan, it's going to open the full vision for them and remind them of what it is we're trying to accomplish, why that is what we're trying to accomplish, and how we're trying to accomplish it. The vision and the strategy. So, when it comes to vision statements, we're not going to make doctrinal statements. We're not going to make statements of faith. We're going to make visionary statements. The story, the synopsis, and eventually the slogan. Now, this completes number 6, our final video in skill number 1. Skill number 1 being discerning and developing vision. And so with our next video, we are going to move on. We're going to move on to skill number 2, casting vision and creating ownership. And that first skill topic is going to be private vision casting. May God bless your ongoing studies. Amen.